You're now listening to the Open Africa podcast with Laulu, Nosa, and Furo. On this episode, we will be discussing YC's list of best performing startups. The peer shutdown, CBN's, well, they call it shutdown or temporary pause on onboarding for a number of players in the ecosystem in Nigeria, ChildX raise, and a couple of other related news items. So, where do we begin? We can start with...
Maybe we should start with why we've been AWOL for the last 2 months.
Oh,
it's Nosa's fault.
Yes.
And I can't tell you exactly how, but it's Nosa's fault.
Yeah, I was about to ask, how is this my fault?
Don't worry about that. Just know that it's your fault.
Life has been life. All of us have a part to play.
I choose to blame you.
The last time I was ready to record, somebody went to the beach.
Somebody went to Jollof in the beach.
For work. I was at the beach for work.
I just need you guys to know that.
Office on the beach. Which, is it Patricia? Is that where Harun's new office is?
No, Patricia, Ben.
Wow.
Patricia is working out of Ilashe. So please, which client do you have that is on the beach?
Don't worry about that.
Oh, my days.
Don't worry about the clients I'm chasing, okay? But yes, anyways.
Anyway.
But yes.
We will try to
blame. We apologize.
Yes. And we are now...
I'm the one that is very available.
Now, so we are now fully equipped to also record better quality remotely. So that's also... That's some...
Fingers crossed on that one. We'll make we process them first. I'm sorry. Theoretically, we should be better prepared because we actually spent money. Well, Nosa spent money to get us to this place. So, yes, it should be better than the last one.
Yes. So, now to the content of the actual episode.
Let's start with the light one.
Which one is light? All of them is blue. All of them are...
Like wave is on. Wave is the light one.
Is it light? Is light in one light and dark in another? You know, it depends on how you look at it.
I guess since last year, these guys, what's their name? YC has started putting out their list of best performers, and it's based on revenue. So it's not even like traction and whatnot or whatever noise other people make. And there are surprising absentees.
See, like I say, it's not light.
I mean, in the grand scheme of darkness, this is light.
It's a good thing for somebody, but and for Wave themselves, they're the only ones on there.
From Africa.
So it's a good thing for them.
The whole continent.
It's not a good thing for the whole continent. I mean, and it's also not particularly not a good thing in light of what you call it. These guys trying to IPO. I think you are not hearing Wave saying they want to IPO, so it's a bit. I don't think it's good. Anyway, but I think it flew under the radar. Nobody really said anything or made any noise about it.
Well, we have spoken about it, so well done to us.
I mean, well done to us, but I think it slipped most radars. I don't know if it's the power of our guy or it's...
or people just not paying attention and making the connection.
Thanks, I realize that we can't really bleep out anything. If we're using this.
No, we can't. Unless,
no, don't worry. Laulu will process offline. I will bleep it out. Fear not.
Fantastic. But on the flip side of the positive side of the list is Wave, right? And do you want to give context about Wave again? I think we've spoken about them a number of times, but like, yeah.
Yeah. So they've gone like a very different. So first, I guess I'll start with the origin. is the guys behind Sendwave, right? So they used to do remittances, and they built out like a, I guess, built out network, particularly in Francophone Africa, for remittances, like cash outs with agents and whatnot. So they built out that network. Then they sold that company to WorldRemit and decided to keep the infrastructure that they built and turn it into a mobile money competitor.
Interesting.
And Wave is just in Francophone Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think they've just focused on Francophone Africa and left the rest of us to English speaking. I was talking to somebody, I think it's very, Francophone Africa is, I won't say it's one of the easier markets, but from a economics perspective, it's a lot more stable than say like Nigeria. So they have the same currency, it's easier to passport into other Francophone countries with like a license somewhere. It's like an African EU, more or less, which is, I guess, it's a good thing for people looking into that. I guess the rest of us just can't be bothered to learn French, which is why we are suffering.
Okay.
But like as a collective market, it's a pretty decent market, and Wave has just focused, they've chanced the incumbents in those markets, undercut them by price and everything. So they're doing, I mean, everybody's had a rough couple of years, but they're doing decentish compared to, based on what YC is saying, compared to the rest of us, which is very interesting.
So the thing is, like, while they're, you know, the market is, you know, more stable and all of that, for most people to enter a market, bedrock of your market entry is KYC, right? And when you look at those markets, like in terms of like ID authorities and availability of APIs to do ID validations and the likes, they're not very available. You have to use like documents, you have to do document checks and all of that. And the challenge is for people that are accustomed to dealing in like Nigeria or Ghana or even SA, right, where there are a lot of options in terms of IDs that you can actually verify against government databases, it's a difficult jump sometimes to just like for compliance teams, it's a very hard sell, right? Because they've gotten spoiled with ID databases, and then telling them they don't have to rely on just document check is always a, you know, scary jump for them to make. So there's that as well.
It's a big risk. I mean, and I guess the bigger the risk, the more the reward, which is what Baby is getting.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, they're saying, so I'm just going to take a step back. Right, because they've only said that they're performing well. We don't even actually have any metrics about their performance, right? So how do we really know what numbers they're pushing and what, like, makes them, do you get what I mean? Like, we don't actually have...
That's valid. But the way I see it is, I don't think there's anything for YC to gain if they shank out guys.
More importantly, beyond Wave, is there any other African startup inside this thing? And is there ever going to be, given what we've delved into with Paul G?
There is. I mean, there are plenty of African startups. Well, not plenty. It's the numbers I've been doing, the class sizes I've been dwindling. But there's still lots of people that African companies are in YC. So it's not like there's a
scarcity.
Paul G might not read. Yeah, it's not like there's a scarcity. It's just very interesting that in the data available to YC, they're saying, for lack of a better term, Wave is a better performing company than a Flutterwave.
Okay, so moving on swiftly. We can, on the topic of performing, I don't even know how I'm trying to make this segue. I'm just going to do it. Move raised $100 million Series B. Mr. Nosa was doubting me and believing AI, you know, when I raised this, but there's God and there's internet with other options.
Nosa is the stereotypical example of humanity when the AI revolution is fully underway.
I'm sorry.
Doubting flesh and blood.
It gave me details of the race.
In favor of AI.
It gave me details of the race, but it gave me a made-up link.
Hey, GBT.
And you know what's very, very funny is that the meta, I guess, the SEO optimized part of the URL. It's like very realistic. Like, this is what technology used to title it if they wanted me to search and find it. And it wasn't with GPT, I was using Perplexity. Anyway, I don't like sharing my AI things with you guys because I believe
you are actually finished.
I believe in information asymmetry.
It's a Perplexity. Oh God.
I have like 5.
Just leave me, sir.
Every time I talk about like GPT on the internet, it could be one of the 5.
Just know that nobody is fighting with you over your AI tools.
Yeah. And
in any case, Move raised money. Glory to God.
And they're
our drivers going to be any less of slaves now.
So, Move is Move.
Those are the unhappiest people in Nigeria.
Move is Move, Uber is Uber. There's a difference.
There's a difference.
Yeah. While Move is working with Uber. They're still what?
You know what I find very interesting is Move is framed like a, what's it called? Like a mobility company. Like a lot of the language seems to just group them with mobility company or fleet. They provide fleet management or something. Move is a credit company.
Yeah.
Asset financing.
Create the image to raise the money you want to raise. You can't go and say you're doing it. So they say asset financing startup is not sexy. You have to, mobility is, you know, vibes. Yeah.
Because that's why they're doing a lot of all this like debt capital now. So they're like basically borrowing money so they can buy cars and they can do asset financing with those cars.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was very interesting framing because whenever people talk fintech, they never consider Move.
Yeah, because they're not. Well, and they said African
it's mobility. It's
the TechCrunch article said African mobility fintech. So they're, you know, they're 2-in-1. They're 2-in-1. I need to get serious in my life. Yes, they're 2-in-1. But yeah, I think they want to expand into new markets. It would be interesting to see what markets. Yeah.
I think it's like India or something. They want to leave. They want to de-risk Nigeria, essentially. Basically, you people are too poor to pay them back.
Please. I don't want to talk about Nigeria. So let's not do it.
Don't worry.
On this podcast.
We heard the beeping in the background. We know how Nigeria is. We know how Nigeria is dealing.
Oh God.
Well, you can't edit.
I was trying to mute.
There's nothing to mute.
To provide good context.
Anyway. Are we moving on?
Let's move on to even more good news. Chaudek, is it weather, the economy? Everything is harsh, yeah? Judging by the people in Furo's background, everything is harsh.
Now UPS was crying out for help. Oh God. I think Furo has actually dropped off.
Anyways, I'm back. Where did we stop?
Yeah, I'm saying in this harsh period, Chaudek has found money.
2.5 million seed. money. That's a big deal in this harsh climate.
Especially for a food delivery business when people are winding down. I mean, these guys, what's their name?
Glovo.
Glovo has left Ghana. Jumia Food has basically left Nigeria. I think there's another one that's left. Bolt Food also called it a day. So,
did they really ever start?
They tried to start. They tried to start. Anyway.
My own question is, with this money now, can child go back to subsidizing my orders?
Because
that 1,700, 600 that they collect from me every time I order is paining my soul.
But you still go back
and order. Clearly, I'm stubborn. Sure. Because I've said I'm not doing it again, but here I am.
I'm pretty sure also not stopping the subsidies, how they will to raise money.
Because he actually showed paths to profitability.
Exactly. No investor wants to be doing giveaway in this economy.
And you know, I think that's actually what we need. We actually need more giveaway from investors, at least to subsidize the economy. I'm sure
a furrow economy is hard. Exactly. We need somebody to help us subsidize.
So
investors should be doing giveaway with people, with think other people.
Yes, money. Think about Hello. It. If they for are future gain. If they are subsidizing for, I don't understand why they can't subsidize
delivery of my jollof rice.
Okay, go and look for the Nigerian government to subsidize your apps.
Think of it as how a long term play for the giant of how Africa to actually be a giant. We need to help.
What Musa said.
We need to help them in their trying times. Help them stand up.
Yes, and
charging them full price. I mean, it's not really like using the white man's fund. Is that, I mean, can we are on the floor? Are we going to fund ourselves? It's not, you can't pull yourself by the bootstraps. Someone has to come and help you stand up.
Yes. And yes.
He's a savior, Abby.
We found a savior. And I don't know why people look down on the fact that we found a savior that can save us. You know, look, I think, in fact, the government should be. That's why I don't even understand why. It's so anti-startups because the same way they dance for their Eurobond roadshows, it's the same way they should be encouraging startups to go and dance for bring FDI because it's FDI. Just force them to bring the money to Nigeria.
FDI distributed to the masses, aka me.
The big difference is that your startup money does not touch them. Just know that and know peace.
I mean, no, okay? It's part of it. Little drops of water make a mighty ocean.
Okay. You think they care about you and your little drops? And the little drops
Furo,
that you know,
Furo,
you
are care? You for us or against us? I don't understand,
Furo.
I'm for you. I'm just also painting the picture of the other
side. We said let VC come and subsidize our lives. You are saying they should not subsidize.
I won't have a recommendation for Cardoso and his people if they are listening to me. They should force all startups to bring their FX inside Nigeria. They should maybe make them register based on CSE. If you want to do startup in Nigeria, your parent company can be Delaware Corp or whatever. Wait now.
What's wrong with you?
You can have Delaware Corp, but if you are raising and you're announcing your reason, there should be FIRS. In fact, FIRS, as soon as you announce your raise, FIRS should come to your door and check how far.
I would just like to say this podcast is hosted by three distinct individuals.
When they bring the dollars into Nigeria, it will be like, you know, when you export or whatever, CBN will collect it and will give you Naira at CBN rates. That is how we can defend the Naira.
Yes. Defend Naira.
For how much do you say startups raised in Nigeria, in Africa again?
No, sir, I'm not following you in this conversation. But you carry
if
me to where
does not answer I'm you, yeah, you. We'll answer you. Don't worry. Where is that information?
I feel like
decline in fundraising is down about 51%. Child.
Exactly.
So. But African startups have raised $466 million
no.
this first quarter of 2024.
But that's for the big four. It's not just Nigeria. That's across Nigeria.
They are not really raising anything in the other markets, too, to be fair. So,
for a look at this, it will be trade by barter. The government will give you enabling environment. In exchange, you give the government your dollars.
Does this enabling environment include police? Mopo. Oh, God. No, sir. I beg you, please, in the name of God.
Anyway, Chaldek, their GMV to increased by 140% to...
What was GMV?
Gross merchandise value, aka the value of everything they sold, to 2.4 billion naira. I see everybody's reporting naira now because...
because if you report it in dollars, it's wrong.
How do you show growth?
If you report dollars, it becomes RAS immediately.
In terms of the participants, I think a bunch of old guys, Hoke was in there, and I see Sudeep from Sportybet.
Hoke people are not old.
So Hoke didn't invest in the original one. I thought Hoke invested in the original one, in the original race. Anyway. The young Yuppie people of Hook invested. Sorry, Furo.
Thank you.
People don't know Furo is an investor, so I'm aging her. I'm sorry. Sudeep from Sportybet invested. The money that all of you have lost, this is how the ecosystem works. When the people bet and they lose money, Sudeep gets rich. Now Sudeep is rich. Sudeep can invest in Chaldek. And Chaldek can now hire delivery riders that will now bet. Everybody is helping each other.
Can I just say that there are three people on this podcast and Nosa's views do not represent our views. These are independent views from an independent man.
You are not saying how the ecosystem works.
Nosa is just able to be destructive.
And if you are looking for me, I'm in my house in Accra.
You see, the problem is that the one that's not here.
Me, so I'm not here too. If you are looking for me, I'm in Accra. That's where I am.
Anyway, did you guys know Chaldek is beyond? I hope GPT didn't lie to Misha, but they are in Ilorin, Benin, Abeokuta, Asaba, Port Harcourt, and Ibadan.
That is long. Is fascinating.
I didn't know there were restaurants in Ilorin.
Stop that. Stop it. It's a university town.
Oh, fair enough.
There are lots of young people.
Fair enough. I'll give you that.
I'm sorry. You
did I did not know there were restaurants in Ilorin. This is why we can't put our faces here or be outside. Because somebody woos me one day thinking that I'm you.
But Lagos still accounts for 80% of their volumes.
Lagos still accounts for... Anyway.
Everybody's volumes, except you are doing oil and gas.
Or
you're doing mobile money.
I don't want to speak further on my theories for growing Nigeria. Anyway, the people
please
for...
Don't. We can talk about
the people for Renewed Hope, just contact me. I have concept.
Actually, please contact Nosa. I can share his email address if you are interested.
Anyways,
moving on, because I feel like we're just this is a mess.
That's the last episode of the good news.
Yes, now we talk about the well. CBN.
Okay, sorry.
Please.
I preempted the bad.
Can we discuss the PM first?
Why are you running?
I'm not running. My comments will be reserved.
Okay, the PM. I don't have any thoughts about this. I'm tired of talking about companies that shut down, so you guys can go ahead with this.
My own thing is what's so called is that they shouldn't have returned the money.
They should just keep quiet and let the company just
feel and say, oh, we ran out of runway. Sorry, everybody.
Because what's now happening is I think people are making noise about how much they actually returned.
Yeah. So they announced that they raised 2.1, but apparently they never actually received 2.1. It was more like 1.3 or something.
That's normal. Because right? Some investors have milestones. Exactly.
So now, based on what they returned, some of the investors are saying they want to see the books because if they, when they calculate based on their burn rates, there should be more money left over.
Me, I'll off phone. I'll off phone, off email. You look for me there.
I think it's bad enough that you have to shut the company down. But someone is telling you that they want to see your books. I'll be so annoyed.
Like, how many people actually return funds when they're shutting down the business? You won't count your blessings.
Because I know that the investors are, what's it called? The investors are asking for more money. They're not the ones. They should go and meet their fellow investor that didn't bring the full money.
Mm-hmm.
But could more money have saved them?
No.
No, if they're returning money, money was not the problem. It's product market.
Apparently, they said they could have lasted at least another year on that money, which is what me would have done. And I'll just go another year and I'll be applying for jobs.
You know, I have nothing to say to that.
It's like a paid sabbatical.
God.
Every investor for the uninitiated,
how did the peer work? Because apparently, even me, I didn't know. I didn't get their model. What I thought they were doing, it was something else that they were doing. So it could be helpful to explain their model.
They pivoted a couple of times, I think, but their final iteration was essentially a payment gateway for wallets. So if you were a merchant, you could use, like, for instance, this guy's Food Court. Another app that I've deleted from my phone. Food Court had the peer on it. And you could pay for Food Courts via the pair. So you just select the wallet of whatever fintech or whatever that was on the pair, and you pay for your order based on that balance.
Right. So they needed consensus from the fintechs, and they'll integrate them to make them available. They'll integrate authentication from that fintech that will enable them debit the wallet
of the cost of,
and then
the
settle customer. The merchant. Yeah,
exactly.
So they were creating their own closed
ecosystem. It was essentially
their own direct debit.
Yeah, it's like somewhere between Nibs and Paystack is where they sat. Mm. So it just didn't really click because there wasn't that much demand. Like, it was not a problem. It was not a big problem, actually.
It's not a big problem because I look at the existing payment gateways. You can pay with card, pay with transfer, pay with USSD. If you are feeling freaky, you can pay with QR self.
Yeah. So
it's not like for a lack of options.
So yeah, and the biggest is very regulated too.
Yeah, and the biggest fintechs have card. They are giving you virtual card or physical card, Seth.
I mean, even if they don't give you card, it's one of those things give you where transfer. Compliance departments will push back.
Risk will push back, Seth.
Yeah.
Before it even gets to compliance, Risk will tell you, will ask you if everything is all right. It's like me that year that I was trying to integrate Redacted into bank. And then Risk were like, yeah, it's calm. And I'm like, huh? They're like, yeah, it's calm. But business has to sign off, Shada. If anything goes wrong, they are going to be held liable. No business person agreed to sign that, you know. Because when Risk is like, do what you want now. Don't disturb us. Do it. Say you want to do it. All of a sudden, me that had business owners, I did not have anybody on my side again. Nobody told me when I closed shop and gave up. I had to tell the guy that, oh, man, sorry, I'll see you on the other side.
I think what I found interesting was the revenue they said they made. So they said they processed $500,000, and they made about $600 in revenue. Based on that math, it means they are
that margin.
That margin was either they gave merchants lots of concessions, or maybe they just didn't know how to even calculate the revenue. I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous, but...
Because even if you charge 1% of $500,000, that's $5,000.
Yeah. there's a way you can, even if you are giving the merchant discount.
It's not giveaway, all of you doing the beginning.
No, it's giveaway, but for there's interesting startup map at play that I feel could have been deployed if they did not deploy it. So now if you do, if you say your thing is 1%, right? You do 1%, but to get this customer, you are giving them a discount at maybe you say it's 0.1. The way you can report it is that you can report that you still charge 1%. That'll be your revenue, but your cost of sales, the cost of whatever, will now be
0.9. Yeah, that helps your reporting because it shows that you're actually collecting money. You just have high cost of sales exactly. That you need to drop. And that's what you use for your next round.
And all these guys don't really, when they do DD, they don't really do DD like that. They just see revenue number and they get excited.
Or maybe they were sharing that money with the issuer.
Even if you're sharing the money with the issuer, you can record it as your own. Then put it as a cost line item that you have paid.
What is this about now?
Plenty guys do it.
No, is that the reason why we're explaining it like this is because to process $500,000 must only make
$600.
$600 is very small. It's a very small margin that you are making. And yes, payment is about volumes and margins, but it's not like this.
Yeah, that's because that's 0.12%.
Yeah, even if you cap your fee at say 1,000 naira or 1,500, because again, you don't have the associated payment gateway costs. You are not going through MasterCard or InterSwitch payment gateway. You are not doing any of that. You are effectively the middleman. You are collecting from say Piggyvest to settle somebody, or you are collecting from whoever, the pocket, and then you are settling the merchants. So worst case scenario, you are sharing money between two people, you and pocket, if that's the sort of contract that you went into with them. So that money is small.
Yeah.
Because standard payment gateway, you share that money with like five people.
Mm-hmm.
You share MasterCard, these card scheme will collect their own. You take your own. The acquirer too will collect his own. Then one processor somewhere will collect his own too.
And everybody is going to report that 1.5% as their revenue.
Yeah.
Is standard startup math, startup accounting is a fugazi way of calculating input clicks. Because I can give you another example, like airtime, right? Airtime, the commission is maybe between 3 to 5%, maybe 6% sometimes. I mean, the useless telco, that one might give you more, but say 3 to 5% is standard. You can either say 3 to 5% is your revenue, or you can say you bought airtime credits in bulk and you sold it to your customer. So then you now record the entire amount they bought as revenue. So instead of doing 3 to 5% of maybe 1,000 naira credits, you say your full revenue is actually 1,000 naira credits, but your cost of sale is.
Yeah, you know, the net revenue will now be different.
But when you're reporting your revenue number, you can say we did 100 million. Nobody's ever asking you.
But your net margins then become disgusting. It's
disgusting, but how many people are looking inside?
Okay.
When they are reporting, sorry. When they are posting,
these are tips and tricks of the game, or that Nosa is sharing for free.
Look, when they are posting revenue on TechCrunch, they never say what their margin is. They always say we made revenue of this, revenue grew 3x. It's only when you do true DD that you find out. But anyway, that's an aside. I just show that 600 is too low. Something just wasn't adding up.
Anyways, are you done with the
PA? To the final point,
I'll just say that for infra business is hard.
Lalu, please, this new app that we're using, how many minutes have we been talking for? Because this episode is feeling
it's long. 36 minutes for.
Okay, so we have 5 more minutes. Thank you.
On this final topic, actually, me to have a hard stop at 2. But on this final topic,
yes.
I cannot comment.
Let me raise it. Let me speak to it.
Loudly, what to do the honors?
Yes, because let me not lie. I have big boy jealousy. I wish me too I was big enough for them to tell me not to onboard again. But that's besides the point. The CBN came and told some of the big boys in the fintech ecosystem that the evil that they've done is enough, that temporarily they should shut down onboarding new customers. So OPay, Kuda, Moneypoint, PalmPay, and Paga. I've not seen Paga mentioned in a lot of the news articles out there, but I have it on good authority. I have it on good authority that Paga is also part. Now, they said in the report, it was said that the reason why they told them to temporarily suspend onboarding is because there were some shady FX transactions that were happening on these platforms. For context, depending on your license category, you are not allowed to deal in FX. However, given that these providers don't really have FX on their platforms like that, I don't think it was a foreign currency transaction as it were happening on the platforms. It was more like the nature of the deal was FX-led. Honestly, I don't know why that would be a problem, but the CBN said that it's a problem.
I talk about why it's a problem offline.
The CBN is a problem. And then he said that those guys should stop onboarding. Nosa cannot speak on it because of obvious conflict of interest.
For me, I understand why. So to some extent, I understand why CBN
is this. There crypto inside
for
this?
For me, piece? I think there's a premise of crypto. Wonderful. In the mix. But the thing for me is like I feel like if the CBN was, and I'm CBN. You know what you're doing. You're a great organization, right? But ultimately, I feel like reporting over time would have indicated that something was amiss, right? And they could have picked this up without having to literally say shut down onboarding, right? Because, like, there's a lot of reporting that is done monthly to different parts of CBN around transactions, onboarding, like, different reports are done monthly. So why did we have to get to this point where it's like, okay, now there's a all-out war against, you know, whoever was passing FX transactions or crypto transactions or whatever, right? I just think that I don't like the way Nigeria
is very reactive.
Reacts to stuff is always
we've had this information since. Why is it now that your blood is
you could have gradually put in measures, like had these conversations over time and giving them deadlines, giving them fines. Like, I'm sure they'd be fining them in bits, but like giving them like heftier fines that are more painful so they actually go and do what you want them to do, right? But I think that it's not just the fintechs, right? I've heard that there's some banks involved in this, but obviously announcing the fintechs is more sensational because everybody has a love-hate relationship with them. You want to see them win, but at the same time, there's some jealousy, so you want to see them fail. So that's why everybody's focusing on the fintechs.
But I'm not even sure.
I just think that...
Sorry. Please finish your thoughts.
No, I was just going to say, like, ultimately, like, I just think it could have been handled a bit differently. I don't think that this is all new information that just came to light overnight, right? So
I'm just grateful that is onboarding, they said they should stop. And they didn't yank them off NIP. Because that's also not impossible for the CBN to do. But I guess these names are, I mean, systematically important has a different meaning in the context of banking. But for consumer payments or consumer money movement, if you suspend Kuda, OPay, PalmPay, Paga, Moneypoint, I think. Like, who is left? Yeah.
People will feel it.
Like, who is left?
I've heard the data.
It's interesting.
I hope they can. They will do that.
I mean, I want to hear, like, what the real issue is. Because from my understanding, if it's not, like, if it's not clear cut, oh, you're facilitating crypto transactions. If it's like, oh, someone is buying FX, and they are using your platform to settle, that doesn't seem like a problem, because it's not like
talk of line
at all. I've taken counsel. I will look forward to the offline conversation. Clearly, I don't have context. That's how you can unmute now and speak your mind on any other topic.
You know, I'm campaigning for renewed hope. I cannot speak.
Those are, please be serious in this life.
What I will say is,
yeah.
We need Chiggy.
Anyways, I believe that's the end of this episode. It's been a bit chaotic, a little bit all over the place. I think it's our first time recording in a while, so bear with us. And we're recording remote as well. We will get better, and in terms of quality of
I'm sure the quality of this audio will be better than anything that we've done.
Eh?
Yes.
Hold on.
And then
that last one, no sir, I cannot guarantee you. Better than anything we've done.
In terms of remote.
Do you know, as you said remotely the first time, your network just disintegrated.
I know. That's why I'm trying to round up. I'm tired. My internet is tired, but I'm tired. So yes, let's move on. MTN has been doing me anyhow.
It's time to do Starlink.
I'm grateful for the details.
Anyway.
I've ordered. They've not delivered. I'm tired. I'm tired of following up.
Let me jump to my next meeting. Apparently, the workers day is not for all workers.
Myself, I've worked this morning. Personal work and employer's work.
The only good thing is that because Nigeria team is not working, I can wake up late.
First of May in that country.
They don't.
They do bank holiday Monday. So he's talking as if his holiday is not coming in front.
But so I cannot do holiday in front because the rest of the team is working. You see the challenge.
Well, that's
why you should come back and contribute your own quota to renewing our hope.
It's okay, I've heard. They can appoint me from here.
All right. Till the next episode. For listening. Bye, guys.